All right. Good evening, everyone. This is the November 12th, 2025 meeting of the WPFW Local Station Board. I'm Kamal Harris, Chair of the Board. I will ask Ellen Carter, our Secretary, to call the roll. Ellen, will you call the roll, please?
Irene said, contacted us and said that she will be running late. She's traveling.
Yep.
Verna?
Present.
Wayne? I'll come back. Michael Byfield? I'll come back. Bill Curtis? I'll come back. Violetta? Come back. Vanessa?
I am here.
Sue won't be able to make it.
Yep.
Robert Gordon.
He texted. He's going to be late. Yep.
Okay. Kamal, it's here.
Yep.
Michael Hirsch.
I'm here.
Julie.
I am here.
Arthur Hyland.
Yeah, I'm here. And what is Kamal growing in his greenhouse there?
Yeah,
I'll let you know in a sec.
Okay.
David?
You can't answer those questions.
Ambrose? I'll wait. Tony?
Tony is here, and I'll take some of what he's growing, too.
After I get what he has. Mariah?
Here.
Ron?
I is here.
And Minerva will be absent. She contacted you, Michael Hirsch?
Yes, she did.
Okay. Michelle? Michelle? I'll come back. Wanda?
Here.
Dennis?
I'm here.
Thomas? Chase?
Here.
Thomas?
Present. Okay.
Junette?
She's running late. She texted me. She's running a little late.
Okay. Jawara?
I'm here.
Okay. I'll go back to some of the people we haven't heard from. Wayne? Has he come in yet?
Not yet.
Michael Byfield?
Not yet.
Bill Curtis?
Not yet.
Violetta?
I've not heard from her. Nope.
Okay. And Ambrose?
I've not heard from Ambrose either.
Michelle?
She's on her way in. I just spoke with her.
Okay. All right. You'll just let me know when the others come in. And did you get my email, Kamal?
Yes, I think. Was it recent? How recent? When did you send it?
Very recent, about when I would, with the OPA vote.
Yes.
I would be able to click on voting and they will get the information, but is it okay that they get it now, the information, and they, at any point they can vote before 9:05? Is that okay?
Let's send it out after community comment. Let's make sure we focus on our management reports, and then we'll go ahead and send that out after the, or during community comment. We can
Well, they won't have to do anything. I'll just click on it.
Oh, really?
Vote, so it'll be everything being sent to them and all, and they'll have time to actually vote.
Okay.
All right.
Well, if you think that's easiest, I trust you. Let's go that way. Go ahead and send it out.
Okay. We'll see. Right. Okay.
All right. We have a few more that have popped in. Got Robert Gordon's present.
Okay.
Violetta is present.
Michelle is.
I'm here.
Michelle is present.
Okay.
I think that was it.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. All right, we have, if Robert, you could do the timekeeping for us this evening, it would be great. We have minutes from the October meeting. Are there any adjustments, any changes to the October meeting minutes as presented? Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
Seconded.
Any objection to approving the minutes as presented for October's meeting? All right. Hearing none. Those minutes are approved. All right. We have our full house tonight. I really do appreciate all of the all the management team coming in this evening, and we'll get it kicked off here with a report from the program director, Katia Stitt. Katia, you're here, right?
Oh, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
I'm calling.
I'm sorry, you all. I'm a little hoarse. I am getting over bronchitis. all the sound effects tonight.
I know it's crazy, right?
Are you all still there?
Yeah.
We're still here. Yeah, somebody's bombing us.
Bombing, yeah.
How can you kick them out, though?
You can kick them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The host can click on them and kick them out.
My gosh. Okay. So sorry, y'all. I've seen that before in other meetings. It's just
it's actually immaturity.
Maturity level is at an all time low here in this era. But if we can go ahead, Katia, if you would, with your report.
I can go ahead. I'm sorry. That was what is it? Jarring for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll just hit the highlights. I'm sorry. It just really threw me off. And then you all feel free to answer questions. One of the questions that comes up a lot, which is why I offered it in my report, what we're doing to center what's happening in DC, what we're doing about amplifying mutual aid for our furloughed workers and in general, also tracking and ensuring that we are highlighting the voices of those who are most affected by the boots on the ground here mostly DC. I haven't seen them in Maryland, although I have no doubt that they're here. I mean, I've seen ICE in Maryland, but I haven't seen the National Guard. But at any rate, I'm really proud of our programmers because throughout our grid, since the National Guard hit DC, we have highlighted the voices of those who are the most in contact with them, people from Free DC, people from Harriet's Wildest Dreams. I want to commend Verna, who added Kimone Freeman to her rotation. Many of you know Kimone. He is an activist, but on the week that he is on What's at Stake now as a host, he has something called the DC Takeover, where he focuses specifically on DC. And I would say more often than not, the activist community in terms of what is happening and how people are pushing back. So I just wanted to highlight that. We came out of our pledge drive. We had an additional day on the 26th, we had an additional day of programming the following week, which was the D'Angelo Neo Soul Special. which raised about $10,000. We had some fantastic programmers participate. We are, you know, everything we do on air, we try to also amplify on our social media. And so we continue to work with our social media consultant to ensure that those things are highlighted. In terms of, for instance, when we did, What Breaks the Heart, the Gaza, 2-year anniversary of the genocide, or when we did the Congo Day of Programming on, October 22nd. We're about to do the same with him with Sudan and Human Rights Day coming up on December 10th. We are also doing special programming, of course, on the National Day of Mourning, also known as Thanksgiving. We always go live to Plymouth Rock, Massachusetts, where the United American Indian Nations get together and they have a rally and a march. And so we've brought that live to our audience for several years now. We're also doing a Jimi Hendrix special on that day since that is his birthday. And Thomas Stanley, who is, I would say, a Hendrix aficionado, will be doing that special. In addition to those things, I just wanted to mention that we have started, we've populated our YouTube channel with other things. And if you go to our YouTube channel, you can see old Live at 5 content, which is still there. You can also see the thank you that the Basanja Coalition in Congo, the youth leaders were together on the day that we did our Congo special programming. And so they recorded a thank you to us for being in solidarity with them. That is on our YouTube channel. It was really beautiful. It's all these youth leaders who are working to make a difference there on the ground. We've also been taping a show called In the Studio that is hosted by, and only YouTube, hosted by Adrian Ferguson, who is the founder and curator at Art of Noise Gallery. And so right now we have his interview with Maurice James up. He's also interviewed Mona El-Bayoumi, who is a wonderful Egyptian visual artist. That one is not up yet, but should be this month. And then we met with Wilfred Ziesler from the Hillwood Museum. You all might know it. And he will be a guest on In the Studio. We'll be taping that middle of December. We're trying to populate our YouTube channel in an effort to grow our listenership. So, hence the YouTube. We're also meeting next week with Gabriela Castillo, who is a second secretary at the Embassy of Cuba. They reached out to us and have expressed an interest in, doing some programming with us that will highlight not only the medical strides that Cuba has made, but other areas where the country has been very progressive and made strides. So we're going to be talking to her next week about that. And some of you remember or may have liked John Jeter, who did Short Money on Thursdays at 2 p.m. He is now teaching in Ethiopia, but he is definitely interested in coming back. So we're going to talk next week about what that looks like when he would return. He misses radio and he did a very good show. He also has journalism students both in the U.S. and in Ethiopia that he would like to incorporate in terms of having them help produce segments and such. So it's definitely a great way for young people to get involved. We did our Love Sound 2025 on November 2nd at Westminster, and I got to shout out Jeanette and Verna as board members who did so much to help that day, including both of them staying to the very end for cleanup, through the cleanup. It was amazing. And there were other volunteers, but I wanted to make sure that I recognize them also as board members here because they did really a yo person's job. We couldn't have done it without them. We did not have quite the turnout we had last year, but we weren't surprised because of the furlough and people not getting paid. However, it looked like we had a full house. So, Maurice has been traveling. In fact, he left the event on November 2nd and has been traveling that entire time, on behalf of Friends of the Congo. So he is finally stationary again in Mexico so we can do all of the accounting and wrap up so that we can split the proceeds from the event, whatever that is. I think that is all for me right now. I'll leave my time so that people can ask questions. Thank you.
Thank you. You've heard the report from our program director, Katia Stitt. I'll take a stack if there are any questions for her.
How much time, Kamau?
2 minutes in the first question. Okay. Yeah. Any questions for our program director? No, you're going to let her off the hook. Okay.
I know. Don't be shy now.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much, Katia. I really appreciate that. And sounds like some really positive and impactful work being done. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I'm going to leave you all now just so I can, you know, take medicine and stuff. I hope that's okay tonight.
Yep, absolutely. Feel better. Okay.
All right. Thank you all. Take good care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
We have our membership coordinator report. That is from Sataria Joyner. Sataria, you're up.
Oh, good evening. Good evening. thanks once again for having me with you today. My report mainly just focuses on our most recent fall fund drive. And so the original dates for the fund drive were October 12th through the 25th. As Katia mentioned, we extended 1 day to that Sunday, which was October 26th. And then we also did November 1st for the Brown Sugar Genius of D'Angelo Day. The goal for that drive was $250,000. Through the phone and the website, we did about $209,000. Cash App and PayPal were $13,400, and the total came out to be about $221,346. So we got towards our $250,000 goal. We got 88.6% there. I mean, that's nothing to, you know, shake a stick at. But, you know, of course, we always want to go over, as I'm sure you all are aware. But we did get very close. Thank you to every one of you who participated in the drive as donors, as volunteers. So we really appreciate your effort and helping us. The D'Angelo Day did make about $10,720. That is included in the total of the $221,346. Reminders have gone out. Second round of pledge reminders are due to go out next week. And I may reach out to you if I need help, but people are paying them and I don't usually like to have volunteers. I know many of you don't live in the city, and to travel to get to us just to stuff 30 or 40 envelopes isn't necessarily worth it. I usually do when we have those small amounts. I usually just do them myself. Upcoming. On December 2nd, we have Giving Tuesday. We will have more information about that coming, but in the meantime, we are going to be reaching out through our e-blast about how we can improve the e-blast system, what some of the things people would like to see in our different emails and e-blasts, and hopefully that'll also lend itself to us providing them better things in the emails as we move towards Giving Tuesday. The social media person that Katia mentioned, he's who helped us organize a lot of the things we did for Giving Tuesday last year. He and Vinny worked together to really do that social media campaign, and they expect to do the same this year. The next pledge drive is our end of year drive, 14th through 20th, is December 14th through 20th. Those are the dates as set right now. As you know, dates are subject to change, but though that has been pretty consistent, 14th through the 20th. That's the on-air drive, but December, all of December is a drive. We do implore you to, you know, reach out to your communities, reach out to all your constituents to get them to give with the you know, bonus of, it's the end of the tax year. Get your donation in now is a focus. And that usually helps us, you know, bring in a little bit more donors. December is usually a big giving month for us. And, that's it.
All right.
Anyone have any questions?
Yeah. Thank you, Satari. You've heard the membership coordinator's report. From Satari Joyner. Any questions for Satari at this time? I'll take a stack. I see Ron. Go ahead, member Pinchback.
Hi, Ron.
Yeah, let me get myself unmuted here. All right. Good job on the drive, considering the situations. And that's what I wanted to ask you about. Was there any noticeable difference, you know, in how people were responding because of the shutdown, the furloughs, and all that? Was there anything that you could readily identify as? I mean, it's not our fault, but. It was nonetheless the circumstance that we were in.
Well, I mean, there's not hard evidence to link it specifically to that, but we did do less this year than we did last year, for the same, original 2 week period of time. We're also looking at, Lance on the, his first day of the drive, which would have been the 12th. Did a campaign during his show where he really pushed $5 donations, and his specific pitch was because he knew that we were in the people were furloughed with the government saying they didn't even, you know if they wanted to give them their back pay and all that was going on. But he addressed that during his show, and what we saw was we did get a lot of $5 donations, but we also got a few major donors and a few people who gave more for, who said they were giving more, for people who could not give. And I do believe, like I said, there's no hard evidence, but I do believe that's linked to the fact that, folks weren't working during that time and the, innate fear of not being paid. But, the way he addressed it, I think made a lot of people comfortable, like, okay, well, $5 isn't going to make or break me. And that did. He went over his goal.
All right. Yeah. And one more question. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I got something going on here. I'll come back with my second question. Okay. Give me a moment. Okay.
Now, do we want to take another question while Ryan gets his thoughts together?
Sorry, I was on mute talking to myself. I'll have one question for you right now. The 10,700 included, that was a day, though, that was inside of the actual drive itself. It's not like it was outside of the drive, right? That the special programming day?
Correct.
Right. Okay.
But I know people often ask, like, when we have specials inside the drive, people often ask, how did just the special do? So that's the reason why I wanted to break that out.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I just for clarity, it wasn't a day outside of the drive. It was actually something that was within that 2 week span. So that's good.
Well, the drive was extended November 1st.
You're right. Yep. That did happen. Okay. Ron, you got your thoughts together? You want to? Okay.
And I'm more than willing, Ron, if you email me.
Yep.
Yeah. And I can respond to everyone so everyone knows.
Absolutely.
How to answer to the question.
If you have anything you need, I'm sure Satari will respond to your emails. So thank you, Satari, for that report. Really do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yep. Thank you. And we'll go to our interim general manager's report from Miyuki Williams. Miyuki, are you ready?
I believe I am. I submitted my report earlier, so I hope that everyone got a chance to read it. I do want to respond a little bit to what Satari addressed, because that's pretty major. And you're right, Ron. The furlough had a huge effect on what we're able to do because of people not going to work. The Rhythm Morning Brew has gotten to the point where it's producing pretty regularly, hitting or going over goal, and people aren't going to work. So they don't get dressed up to get up, and they're not available to do Morning Brew. And, of course, whatever other financial issues are attuned or akin to that became a problem. So the federal workers significantly affected our listeners' ability to contribute. The other thing is compliance restrictions. We had a couple of special events intertwined within that, and how we promote them is different from how we've done it in the past. So it's not, you know, a horrible thing, but it's sort of restrictive, you know, having the compliance issues that we deal with. The whole the drive coming up short, you know, as an interim general manager, I take full responsibility for the drive's underperformance, but learn some lessons from it. One, the furlough, and, you know, those are items that I can't really control, external factors that can't control, but there are things that we did within the drive. We didn't have a pre-launch meeting. We always have a pre-launch meeting, and this drive, we did not do it. Meeting gets us all focused on goals, messaging, all those things. We were just behind and frankly just didn't do that. And that's on me. We had insufficient listener preparation in that we were doing in the past. We say, look, we're going to do a 2 week drive instead of a 3 week drive. So you have to, you know, creating a sense of urgency and make sure we got all the dollars those first 2 weeks. So I didn't do that either. The special programming and execution of it. The Democratic Republic of Congo Day was very challenging in that we didn't have proper pitch support. And then the same thing with the D'Angelo Day. I took a roll of the dice and thought it was a good idea. I thought we would get younger people. I don't know D'Angelo. I didn't know him. I know him a little bit better now. But I thought that that may appeal to a newer or younger demographic, and perhaps we could pull those people in, but not able to, that it didn't work out. Hopefully, by virtue of the fact that we did it, we'll get them later on. But it was a big lesson, reinforces the fact that I have said in the past, don't mess with Saturday or Sunday programming during drives, because standing on their own as they are, they're usually pretty reliable and pretty productive. We also had some technical failures during the drive. The phone's not working. And so that was a big issue because the momentum. The drives are all about momentum. And once we get started, if we could catch the fire and kindling and keep going, it continues to grow. And we weren't able to do that. So moving forward, you know, I'll make sure we do the advanced planning meetings. I'll make sure that the pre-drive PSAs are clear and accurate and engaging, and make sure the message is clear about what we're doing. And then we'll be better about how we program shows through the through that period. The other thing I wanted to just go a little bit further on, just wanted to let you know we have a development team. Art Highland is one of the members of the development team from the LSB, as is Kamau, as is Dennis and Wayne Bruce. And we have people who are specializing in planned giving. That's Art and also bequeathments. We have Craig Williams, who's specializing in the Jazz and Justice Circle, and he's been recruiting. We are almost up to 300 people who are donating $1,000 a year, and that's almost twice what we had prior to him taking that over and following up with those major donors. We also have Robin Holden, who's going to produce, you know, various events. We have also on the team Tom, our treasurer. We also have others that, right, the second, just, oh, Joy, Dr. Joyce, Joyce Kilgore, who's one of our major donors, is taking leadership on our 50th anniversary. And we have some other people who are working on our 49th. We're going to do something different, which I'll expand on in another time. But I just want to let you know we are working very hard to keep development strong and growing. And even though we didn't hit our full goal, we were $30,000 short. Currently, we are getting a lot of extra money through the month of November. We've got underwriting coming up very, very soon. And even though we didn't make the goal, we are still on budget. So we're okay for that. So I wanted to reassure people about that, and letting them know we're doing something about the shortfall, but we're okay right now. So I'll take questions as well. Oh, and if you all could just tell a friend, everyone tell a friend about WPFW. We really appreciate it because we have to expand our marketing.
All right.
I'm sorry, Chair.
Y'all set?
I'm set.
Okay. All right. You heard the report from our interim general manager. I'll take a stack. I see Ron, is that a legacy hand? Or are you ready to ask your question of Miyuki? Man, why are you wrestling with that mute button? What's going on, man? all right. You're live, Ron. Go ahead.
I'm ready to ask my question.
All right. Go for it.
Oh, yeah. So, Charlie, the PNB has been debating about.
You muted yourself, Ron.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. The PNB has been debating about whether to raise the basic membership fee from 35 to, excuse me, from 25 to whatever. I was just wondering if you or Sataria had any thoughts about that and its impact. Is it a good idea, a bad idea, or should we, see, that's something we should consider? So that's my question. The basic membership fee of $25 is being debated about raising it.
What is the advantage to raising it?
I'm sorry?
What is the PNB? Why do they want to raise it?
Just as more revenue, another revenue stream. There's been no justification at this point, other than to get more money into the coffers.
I appreciate that, Ron, but at this juncture, you don't get anything for becoming a member of WPFW other than knowing in your heart you're a member of WPFW. You're not going to get, you don't get anything extra. You don't get a discount card. You don't get, anyone who becomes a member is going to get the Emma letters and the newsletters and things like that. There's nothing extra for being a member. Do you know what I mean? Other than you knowing in your heart that you're doing the right thing or something. So I don't, the average donation on Sundays at least is over $110. So I think raising it doesn't, there's no advantage, at least WPFW from where I can see, to say, because we don't even give a minimum. We say there's nothing that's too small or too large, and people give from their heart, whatever they're comfortable with.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Member Hirsch and then Member Chiasi in that order.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to say that, Miyuki, thank you for stepping up and taking responsibility for where the drive fell short. I just want to emphasize that we all share responsibility when things work out well, when they don't. So we all have your back. And I appreciate what you said and your very frank explanation. That said, knowing that we did have a big, a lot of obstacles facing us, would it be possible for us to have maybe another pledge week or a weekend maybe, and have like just Saturday and Sunday now that the government has been opened and, maybe, welcome the federal workers back to the gainfully employed and, just to kind of recoup that, because I know that a lot of hard work has gone into that.
Thank you very much for your kind words, Dave. I appreciate that. And I thank you for your idea. We actually did extend the drive. We had to. It was supposed to be a 2-week drive again. One of my mistakes is that I did not advertise it strongly enough, but we extended. We did not pitch Monday through Friday, or we did not hard pitch Monday through Friday. And we brought the drive back. We extended it one Sunday and one Saturday. And so we have got Giving Tuesday starting on December the 2nd. And then from there through the end of the year, we'll be pushing all the way through, basically. And we do get a lot of end-of-year donations. We get, when I started, the complaints were did not receive or did not acknowledge thank you gifts, and our drives are too long and too often. So really trying to get back down, reducing the number of days we have drives as opposed to multiple times doing it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Member Kiyasi.
Yeah, I had a question. Are there any qualified candidates for station director?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I have that on my list to mention to you. We do have some qualified people who are interviewing. However, they extended the deadline to December the 31st because of EEOC issues. And John, the compliance officer, wanted to make sure that all the stations were in line and did everything correctly so that there's no issues later on. We are in the process of talking to candidates now, if we find the right person, we can go. We don't have to wait till the end of the year. But there are people who are very strong and attractive, and I think will do a good job. But the process has been open, not because of the lack of candidacy, but because we want to do things within the rules and regulations as they stand.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
All righty. Thank you.
Can I ask the LSB a question, Chair?
Well, let me see if there's any other questions for this stack. Let me ask this really quickly. I didn't hear the deadline on the applications for general manager. Did you say the 12/31?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. What's your question for this body?
Yeah, I have been approached by a group who says they are the ethical group of another sister station. And I was the ethics group of another sister station. And I was just wondering whether WPFW or the LSB in this area, do we have an ethics group that makes comments or inputs on any governance of our station?
We don't have a group that deals with specifically with ethics. We have a series of rules that kind of govern our meetings, but we don't actively meet on ethics at this point. I think in the couple of years back, we may have had, and I think Bill Curtis could probably speak to this, we did have a committee that worked on some, again, just kind of rules of conduct, codes of conduct, but nothing that, is this a group that like actively pursues things in and around, the station, their local station, or is it Pacifica, or how are they operating?
I'm not sure. They, I assume, Pacifica, they have, I'm not going to get into why I'm interacting with them or why they're interacting with me, but basically I was just curious whether we had some similar group here on the in Washington DC area or any other place.
I think this group does a really good job of working with management. We don't tend to want to get into the other signal stations and their business per se. So, I don't know if anyone has the bandwidth to even want to do that. So, more power to them if they're doing what they're doing, but, we'll stay within our nice little group right here. So
thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Anybody else? I think I saw Mo Thomas. Did you want to, in fact, I meant to, I forgot to email you this, Miyuki to ask for Mo's input at all. If he had anything that he wanted to bring to the body this evening, if that's all right. Mo, do you have anything that you want to add before we move forward? Mr. Lego. Bo Thomas. Remember Nyawi?
I know what it is.
Hold on a second, Mo. We got somebody on the stack. Remember okay. Nyawi would like to have the floor. Go ahead.
Hi, Yuki. Thank you for your report. I was just wondering about the special days and special fundraising days. I noticed that the one for Ray Charles and John Coltrane raised almost twice as much as the one for D'Angelo. And I was thinking that, you know, it's good to target the younger audience, but they may not have the resources as people who are older and may have been listening to the station much longer. And so I was wondering if that could be a consideration for further fundraising days to focus on artists that might appeal to a constituency that are more advanced in years and might have larger resources. Maybe that's already been considered.
No, I appreciate that. I think you're right on target. Again, I rolled the dice and it was the wrong choice to go with. And, but I, you know, that just reinforces the fact that we keep certain things the way they are. We work on the more the legends or the other people. I always thought we get a twofer. I am so, in search of a younger demographic to support WPFW, to listen to WPFW. And mm-hmm. I'm having challenges developing that because I don't have any official numbers, but back in 2010, our demographic was, the average person was at 55 years old. So that means that our average person is now 70. And so it's really important. I don't know if you can hear, I mean, Miles Willis and, Bill Wax, James Funk do a good job of recruiting new members, but new members aren't necessarily young members. And so that mm-hmm. goes with programming. And the hope was, again, I wasn't that familiar with D'Angelo. So I was told later on, he's not that young, but anyway, so I was hoping that it would attract that audience and help us, you know, not only get to goal, but recruit some new people to be committed to PFW because we are in a industry that's in decline. Radio is in decline and yeah. our membership members are declining as well. And so, you know, during the drives, if we had the pre-drive meeting, would have really emphasized, and don't forget, get sustainers, you know, people, get people to do recurring monthly revenue, and let's get new people, which should have been the focus and what we need to do from now on. But, again, I thought, this is an artist I know. I was told that he has a huge influence. He created the whole neo-soul thing. And I said, maybe this would attract something different. We'll expose them to one of our best audiences. It was not a good decision. And so that was my fault. And we got less than half as much money as we normally would get. We get in that same, Saturday.
I'm going to have something to say in a moment, but, remember Hirsch and then remember Pinchback in that order.
Yeah. Miyuki, I think that if we don't try new things, we'll never progress. So I think that it's worth a try to roll the dice, but maybe in a lower stakes situation next time. But, you know, I applaud your decision. And I do think that it was, you know, worth a try, shall we say. And I think that what might help with the younger audience is promoting the app like crazy. We've got a really great app now and, younger people tend to do everything on their phone. So that might be a less risky way of doing that outreach that is so important.
You're very kind. Thank you very much, Mike. We had a development meeting earlier. Craig Williams, who's in charge of the Jazz and Justice Coalition, came up with the idea. We're going to get printed up small QR codes that people can just hit and be able to go to the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, and get the radio app on their phone. So we will try to amplify or increase the usage of that as well. But thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
Ron.
You there?
Ron, you are
Okay. All right. I was just going to concur with what Mike said. Keep trying. You know, nothing beats a failure but a try. And, you know, and it's absolutely necessary, you know, so, you know, don't feel bad about trying, you know, please continue. And we're going to have to open up our minds also when, in regards to how we're going to attract a younger audience. We just need to have some more discussions about that and some more realistic discussions about that. What are they listening to? You know, what are they watching? What, you know, and right now we don't have that data. So we're accumulating it, but we don't have it. So, but by all means, keep trying.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. Member Nyawi, and then we'll hear from our chief engineer and in that order.
Yeah, thank you again, Chair. I agree with the previous two callers too, in that, you know, we do have to try different ideas. And I think his music, D'Angelo's music, did create a lot of excitement. I spoke with one young person who, said that they were able to kind of see upfront and personal some of the what goes on in a studio, so it would be sort of like a training, I guess. Is something like that possible, where young people might be more interested in learning about PFW or becoming involved if they had a chance to come through the studio and kind of see how things worked? It has something like that been tried or discussed?
Thank you, Wanda. We have a group called The Brigade. Abigail DeRoberts, couldn't remember her last name. She is in charge of our brigade. We've recruited about, I say, 12 to 15 young people who we are offering mentoring opportunities with our programmers, and also and that's both music as well as public affairs. And we are trying to teach them Audacity, and we're trying to get them to go out and do testimonies or whatever they can do to show that whatever work they produce, we're trying to get on air. Part of the thing with YouTube as well, creating content for YouTube. One of the things that was pointed out to me earlier this year is that demand listening, or even if you saw the Olympics last year, it's everything's on demand, whether it's music or whether it's videos and things like that. And that's how people are moving and living now. So part of the thing about going with the YouTube, or try to populate the YouTube, or trying to get people to come to our website more and more, is that idea of creating content for demand so that they can learn a lot about WPFW through the live at 5, through the interviews, through the other things that we've done in the past, and maybe come through that way. But yeah, if you'd like to, just email me later on and I'll give you Abby's contact information, so that if you're interested in having a young person join the brigade, we can go ahead and make that arrangement.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Just to kind of wrap this, Mo, anything you want to bring to the body this evening?
Yeah, Wanda has her hand up.
No, that's Legacy.
It's Legacy. Okay. Yep. Hi, everybody. We're doing very well in the technical area. I'm happy to report. As of last night, both turntables are up and running. We found the problem. It was not caused by a programmer. In fact, not caused by a programmer at all. It was a mechanical failure, and we got it fixed. In addition, we have two new preamps on the turntables. So that's a match pair, and they are much newer than the ones we've been using, which I checked the labels, date back to H Street. The good thing about these preamps is they have the ability for you to cue your records right at the preamp. We'll get into that more with the programmers. I don't want to go into it now, but that's an interesting feature. The studio is in good shape. The cue speakers have a cracked cone. We think we can fix that this week. The light stack to let people know what's going on, we think we can get that done this week. Meanwhile, out at the transmitter, and this is really, I think, a big news story from the technical end, The transmitter has been happy and healthy for at least the last 3 or 4 weeks. And that's because of the new wiring that was put in after the electrical fire. All that is now high quality, high integrity wiring. And also the money we spent to get power supplies repaired into the transmitter. They're all holding just fine. And we are transmitting at full power, have been for the last couple of weeks, and have every expectation that things will be happy and stable here going forward. And that's about it, unless there are any questions.
I do have one hand here. Remember Nyawi?
Oh, I don't have any questions for Mo. I have a question for Miyuki, or a comment.
Of course. What's your question? Miyuki's still here.
Okay. My comment actually was that I just wanted to commend Miyuki for doing an excellent job as interim general manager. And I'm kind of disappointed to know that she won't be continuing in that role. At least that's my assumption. I just wanted to congratulate her for taking on the position and just kind of really going full stream ahead. Thank you, Miyuki.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all of you who've been so supportive and helped on this journey. It's been able to enable me to stay as long as I have. But honestly, and I just can't. But I appreciate all of you, because if you hadn't helped as much as you have, I would not be this long. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. Any questions for, thank you for that. Any questions for our chief engineer this evening? All right. Hearing none, we will wrap that. I do appreciate the reporting, Miyuki and Mo. If there's anything else, please stick around and listen up. There may be some questions during community comment. Let's move then to our finance committee report. That's going to be brought to us by Tom Chase. Tom, are you here?
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you.
Great. Yeah, I apologize. I'm in my car, just arrived at the Thunderbird Inn in Savannah, where we're spending two nights after our two-week-long road trip after a month-long moving extravaganza. So, but I did get you my report. Hope everyone's had a chance to look at it. As Miyuki mentioned in her report, even though we didn't meet the goal, which I recommended, we did meet the revenue expectation for the month. And as you might expect, calculating a pledge fund goal is more art than science. And, the goal is for total pledges. And we've talked about this before, but what you get each month, part of it is sustaining from earlier pledges. Part of it is when people just give all of it in the month they pledge it. So getting that proportion right and everything is, again, more art than science at this point for me. I'll have a better recommendation for pledge drives down the line. But essentially we looked at the total, what we needed from listener support, and divided it across the total number of pledge drives and came up with that number. If in the budget report that I presented is now the full FY26 monthly budget forecast, you'll see in there as well. And basically what I did for the revenue projections is, took the revenue actual from 25 and increased it by 3%, which is what, the overall budget growth was for listener support. And so that's just how we came up with the monthly revenue projections. And again, as I said, for the month of October, even though we didn't hit the pledge drive, we exceeded our revenue projection for the month by about 15,000. We came up below projection on revenue in a couple of lines I mentioned there. One is our Pepco bill, which we're continuing. We're now 2 months we're holding. I think that's, you know, until we resolve it, that'll be what we hold. But we have about six weeks, where we weren't using Pepco Power, but we've been billed because they billed on the, average or the, you know, projection of your usage. And we're trying to get them out there to read the meter and make a correction. So, that's not reflected in the expenses for October. And then, we have, some, money in the budget for some, personnel actions that management is working to implement. And most of those should be implemented in November. So, right now the payroll is a little below projection. And that should get corrected in November as we go forward. And, Miyuki could comment on some of those items, if there's questions about that. You know, and it's, so this month we, you know, spent some money, on some new computers, continuing the upgrade of equipment. Mo mentioned, the studio. We also, last month purchased, a used, I'm not quite sure, maybe Mo can tell us, transmitter equipment from AMU. That's $4,000 and we paid that over 2 months. We made the last payment, the first payment in October and the last payment this month in November. So we're investing, we're paying our bills on time, all our payroll, health insurance. And as I said, we ended the month, ahead of budget and, you know, we look to keep a strong track of where we are and continue that progress through the rest of the year. That concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom. You've heard the report from our treasurer, Tom Chase. I'll take a stack now. Any questions for concerning the finances? Member Avery Brown, you have the floor.
Yes, Tom, thank you for that report and for all your excellent work all along. And of course, I want to echo the sentiments towards Miyuki for her, fabulous tenure and job that she's been doing. I'm wondering, Tom, I don't see it in the budget, but is there any discretionary, money available for any special, programming or a special event that one might want to plan at all?
There's a community events line item, that, I haven't had an opportunity to really work with Miyuki or the committees on, you know, a plan for that. But I would say that yes, there is, some resources in there on the event side as well. You know, the larger share that's in there is on the, transmitter power side. We have about 100,000 in the budget to come up with the alternate power, and there's about 30,000 in their contingency on other sort of equipment issues. And but there is a line item in there for community events that I don't believe has been fully allocated.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that.
You bet.
Not seeing a hand, I do have one question. Tom, I don't know, if this has been discussed, at all, and maybe more of a National Finance Committee question, but the, central services fee, there was a lot of back and forth about its calculation, how it's supposed to land. Are they still in debating this, central services equation, or how is that impacting us? And do we anticipate it just kind of being what it is for the, you know, for the future here?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, there hasn't been any discussion of it, at the Finance Committee. My understanding is historically it was a percentage of revenue, and it's possible, but I would say doubtful at this point, that there could be an adjustment made based on whatever, like, again, I don't know the background on how it was set, but my understanding it was some prior year's revenue that was used for current year or future year central service fee calculation. So, I mean, my expectation would be that calculation would have been done before the budget was submitted, and we would have known that ahead of time. So my expectation is there would be no change to that number going forward for the current year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just curious. You know, we all have our station budgets, and then there's obviously the national office that kind of has what or does what it does. And so I'm just curious if there's just, you know, been any kind of, you know, changes there with that central services given where we are, in the system. Member Nyawi, go ahead. You have the floor. Wanda.
Yep. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for the report. Tom, I was looking at the interest income. And so I was just wondering how that, those amounts were generated. Is the money in a, like a high yield account, or does the dynamic nature of the budget prevent that from occurring? Could you just kind of shed some light on it?
Sure. So we have essentially a working checking account, and we have a money market account. And, you know, we have sort of our excess operating cash in the money market account. And that's been level since we moved the money there. So we haven't generated enough to add more money to that account, but that's paying somewhere around 3%. And that's why that number is steady. And, you know, as we generate, and hopefully over this year, right, if we get 90,000 our budgeted net revenue, you know, we'll move money into that account this year. You know, in the checking account, just to get a sense of our dynamics, it's sort of at the most been around 240,000, and at the lowest it's been like, you know, 20,000. So we try not to build up a reserve, not a reserve, you know, excess money in the checking account, but we don't want to be moving money back and forth too much either. So it's been level at that. It's about $60,000 in the money market.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Member Pinchback, you have the floor.
Hey, Tom. The PNB approved the budget for WPFW at the last meeting. I was just wondering if you had any thoughts about that or you know, any observations about the budget being passed.
I'm grateful. The National Finance Committee approved it in early September.
Okay, so the whole PNB we just voted on the other meeting. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for your work.
You bet.
All right. Any other questions for Mr. Chase and his finance report? All right. Hearing none, thank you, Tom, so much for that. Appreciate your work. And you all should have that report in writing. It was emailed out by the secretary earlier today. So that's in everybody's inbox. All right. We will move to our community outreach report. The chair of the community outreach committee is Member Diamond, and I believe she is here. So please bring to us the what the outreach committee's been doing.
Okay. Everybody, I think, received the report. We met on the 4th, and present were Mayuki, Marsha, Kamau, Martha, Ella, Ellen, Shayna, Gloria, Mariah, and Sabu. And I think that was it. Anyway, we discussed the 5K, and Martha was asking for a report, and Miyuki brought to our attention, which was true last meeting, we got a report of what happened with the 5K. I think what Martha is seeking to do is to find a discrepancy, how to correct a discrepancy in the system, because that's why she was requesting the financial report. There was a few people whose name were left off the registration lists. And then although on one of the registration forms, people's names were listed. However, when the same form was printed out, about six people's names were left off. And four people reported that when they tried to register, it stated on the form that they had already paid. So just to try to get that, you know, reconciled. But everything else, I think, is together as far as that report that was given last time. And then we had significant, well, we had the PFW newsletter. Art wasn't there, but he gave us a report that it went out on the 21st. And it was 15,088 recipients with a 99.9% delivery rate, which is good. And the format may likely change. And then also we talked about the town hall, which we're planning. And it's to be held on Saturday, December 13th. At the Brooklyn Busboys and Poets from noon until 3. And we would like everybody on the LSB to attend. We're still getting the agenda items together. We discussed a desire to plug into some community needs at the meeting, as well as our regular business. So we're trying to tie that up. And also having a report from the ED from Pacifica. So those are the things that we are working on right now. I think that's about it. Oh, and somebody from the governance committee asked the questions about what we were doing here at WPFW. And we did answer those questions and get them back to her. It was questions about, you know, what we, who is the makeup of the committee, which is a good thing because, you know, doing the outreach is a good thing because we have, you know, LSB, we have management, we have the CAB, people use their family members or whatever. So, you know, we answered those questions and sent those back. So that's it.
All right. Thank you so much. Member Diamond, you've heard her outreach committee report. Are there any questions? I'll take a stack at this time. If there's any questions. All right. While you're contemplating that, let me just say this because one of the things that the outreach committee, which was really populated mostly by volunteers. If you all know that committee, it's been Violetta at the helm, but then it's also been really a cohort of mostly just volunteers, not board members. And what's ended up happening is a lot of the heavy lifting has been done by those volunteers, even though clearly it's an LSB committee. And so what they've kind of challenged this local station board with is being more hands-on with this particular committee. Of which the first test, I think, is going to be our town hall on December 13th. This is going to be an important town hall. Vinny Jack, you all know Vinny, at the station handles the volunteers. He made a very, very important statement a couple weeks back indicating that we always tied or tried to tie into our town hall some sort of community impact, community issue, something that would draw in the community and not just us kind of regurgitating the reports coming from WPFW. And so that's what we're really trying to do. I'll call her out now. We have a volunteer, Shayna. Shayna has stepped up and really kind of put together a series of agenda, some other literature in and around this particular town hall. And so we're going to go through that. I think the committee will evaluate the first draft, kind of get it back, and then really start to push. We have to get a PSA on air, indicating when that town hall is. And then we also want to kind of fold in some other activities. We're really thinking about, since last year we had a winter coat drive that went over really well, and we could probably tie that, those two things together, have our town hall and pitch that it's a winter coat drive. So then now you've got some kind of other feeders and other activities coming in, to the same place. And all of this is going to drive, we hope, of course, membership. Got to get the numbers up. Got to bring in more individuals, more people committed. And then we also want to make sure that we're in support and in harmony and unity with the other community, associations and businesses. So there's a lot of, nonprofits that are in spaces, Free DC, Harriet's Wildest Dreams. We've reached out to their various, folk to try and bring their membership in to kind of hear just how important it is to have this, station partner and be a force of, you know, the community's, voice within the, DC. So within the DMV. So that's going to be a whole part of this town hall. This is why everybody who can do something, you don't have to necessarily be there. We want everybody there, but in the background, just something you can handle. Again, reaching out to your networks, letting people know, once the agenda is finally published, hey, big event, come to the Bus Boys. We really need a really strong turnout. So I see a member, Avery Brown. Go ahead. And then I want to call on member, I'm going to call on Mariah after this as well. But go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for that update, Kamau, because that's the question I was going to ask. What is the agenda for this town hall? And I think it's superb that you all have come up with this idea to target community issues. And I wanted to also suggest that given the dire times that we're in addition to the coat drive, maybe we should make that a food drive, you know, canned foods and that sort of thing, because there unfortunately are still a lot of people in need of that, even though the shutdown will be over. But it's going to take a while before people get that money in their hands. And I think that might be something that's helpful, particularly with the, you know, holidays coming up. So that's what I wanted to suggest.
So one of the things that came to mind when you just said that in lieu of a canned food drive, there may be a way, because I do know that this committee did have a really good 5K in which they partnered with several supermarkets, and the supermarkets were able to give some light snacks, fruits for the runners and the walkers that Saturday afternoon. There may be an opportunity here for us to go back to that well and maybe create something around the lines of like a Christmas baskets. I know there's, you know, where you put a bunch of things together and kind of give it away to families in need. And so we can think about doing that as well, since it'll be about, you know, 10, 15 days or so, before, the Christmas holiday. So all of that's on the table. And, again, we're asking everybody in, of course, all the members here to really, you know, be creative and start to think about how best they can use, their contacts to really make this an impactful town hall. And again, you know, kind of elevating it from where we just kind of regurgitate a lot of what we're doing, but really kind of reach out and bond with the community. One important thing that is going to happen, and I think this is why everyone should be there, we have invited the PNB chair. Okay. So you all know there's been some discussion back and forth about her being able to come here and present to us the change bylaws. However, her meeting, LSB meeting, conflicts with ours. And so what ends up happening is she, of course, can't split time. So she actually has offered to be at this town hall. So we'll hear from her on that day as well. So I hope that everybody can you know, kind of rearrange their schedule and, you know, be there on that day, because we'll also hear from our chair of the board. Okay. All right. Any other questions? Oh. Member McLean, is she still here? Did you want to give us a little feedback on your outreach and what you've been able to try and do, or are you still working on things?
Still working on it. Miyuki did assist and reach out to, Free DC has a regular spot on, a couple, I think more than one of our shows, specifically with Joni. I also have a contact, part of Harriet's Wildest Dream in Free DC. The reason why I haven't had movement yet is she was actually going to, instead of it kind of being a colder call, my contact was just going to recommend out of the three, the executive director and two of the other staff, who was the best to invite. And then she was going to do the, help me with the introduction. So it was an easier, intro, but I should have an update, I would say, before the end of this week. So if so, I'll make sure to reach out, but it sounds like they are interested, so far in being a part of the town hall on December 13th. And one of the things we talked about is, which is a good problem to have, if Free DC is a part of this, they would more than likely promote it, and they have an expansive reach. You know, this is a hot issue right now happening with the occupation. So they are, everything that they organize for, they are getting the attention for it right now, which is great. But this might be one of, hopefully, one of our best attended town halls yet. So I'm really excited. But I'll make sure to report back once I hear back from Free DC.
Awesome. Sounds great. Member Pinchback, Member Williams, in that order.
The town hall, Kamai, has there been any kind of commitment in terms of how much time is going to be devoted into the executive director, you know, whatever she has to say, is there going to be a time limit on that? And also, since we've got, the chair and vice chair, you know, here in the city, will Minerva and, Julie, be a part of that, contingent representing the Pacifica?
All right. So I know, I think maybe, Member Diamond might have misspoke. It's not the ED, just so we know. It's the PNB chair. So the executive director has not been invited, nor do we expect her to attend. All right. Unless she's, maybe she'll fill in for the chair, but the specific invite is for, our Pacifica National Board chair, Susan Young, to attend. We expect to have some amount of time allotted. Now, because it's a little bit more community focused, clearly, than just our kind of reporting, we've kind of trying to fool with the agenda to kind of backload some of the more sensitive issues in and around, what we're doing internally. Okay. So, the amount of time, we'll figure that out and then how the agenda goes, but there will be time, obviously, for her to present and for Q&A from, you know, the local station board members. Okay. Well, any member, really, all members have rights. So that'll be so more to come, I guess, is my answer on the time, available for discussion.
All right. And what about the availability of the, vice chair?
I don't speak for anybody. You know, she's not here this evening. I have not asked her to be on the agenda per se, but if you'd like me to, I will definitely, you know, she specifically told us to reach out to the chair. So that's why we kind of left her alone in this, but I can reach out to her and I'm sure she's more than willing to have a discussion. We expect her to be there as well. So.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, not a problem. Member Williams.
Yeah, to Ron's point, yeah, I would think that, you know, we could leave it to the chair if, you know, she wants to, you know, to have the other officers join her in any kind of presentation that can be up to her. But the main point I wanted to make, I was listening and hearing about groups like Free DC and Harriet's Wildest Dream. It occurs to me that some of our programmers, you know, folks like Joni and Verna and, you know, Dave Rabin and, a bunch of people, have probably had, you know, some folks from some of those groups on the air, and may have some contacts, to some of those organizations.
So that, I don't know if that could be helpful.
I think that was, yes, no, I agree. I think that was some of the background that was being done between, Member McClain and our interim general manager. So.
Got it.
I'm hoping that each of those dots have been connected both with programmer and or, the management team. So I think that's happening. We can double check though.
Can I go to the stack, please?
Who's this? I don't know who.
Byfield.
Oh, there he is. Mr. Byfield, you have the floor.
In regards to the outreach, committee, I'd just like to correct, the chair. I was at that meeting, and I was also at the meeting before that, and she didn't acknowledge, my being present on both occasions. So I just want to, you know, something like outreach is always important to encourage people that attend the meeting that you recognize their presence. I had indicated that we were going to pursue a tennis tournament in collaboration with a group that I'm affiliated with. And, I was unable to comment, for technical reasons at that meeting. However, I noticed that she had pickleball instead of tennis. So we need to correct that it's tennis with an eye on pickleball later on, to increase the membership at that particular venue. So I just wanted to make that correction. And I'll send out a written outline to Miss Violetta. That way we can at least have a look at it. But we thought it was too late in the year, so we're planning to try to do it maybe next spring or at a more convenient time.
Yes, Member Byfield, it makes a great point. He was at those meetings. He did have a plan to form a tennis tournament that he believes, could double as obviously a fundraiser and potentially a membership drive and of course an outreach function. And so there's more to come there. Go ahead, Member Diamond. I see your hand. Did you have something to say?
Oh, yes. Thank you for that, Michael. I did have you down. The thing is that, and if we get a volunteer, I would love that. Trying to chair the meeting and write the minutes as well. The minutes that had nobody there. So I was going through my scribble, but so, I do know you were there and, it was some, I think I missed Kamal, Marsha, and some other people, but it is very hard trying to do double duty.
Okay. Yeah. No.
I would welcome some volunteers to do either.
All right. Here's what I would suggest though.
Yeah.
What you can do on your Zoom is go ahead and get that companion running and, you know, it'll give you something that you can go back and look at. It's not official minutes, obviously, but it can assist in kind of figuring out, you know, who was present and then also some of the discussion that happened. Okay.
Yeah. We tried that before. I'll try it again, but it was even worse. Than having no minutes.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. We are almost at our time certain. So any questions, remaining for the outreach committee? All right. Hearing none, let's go ahead and open the floor up for our community. Each meeting we have, 30 minutes set aside. For our community comment, it allows, those in the community who have concerns or praise, for both what's happening either at the station locally, with the board locally or nationally with what's happening with Pacifica at large, to come and voice their concerns and, speak to us and, you know, hopefully we can, respond in kind. So anybody who's in the community who'd like to, address this body currently. Go ahead and step forward and you'll be recognized.
How much time, Kamau?
3 minutes on the first round. 3 minutes.
All right. I'm gonna go let my dog in. I'll be right back.
Yeah, no problem. I got it. Our community comment is open. I know we've said a lot already this evening. You got a nice financial report. I think, the outreach committee, all the things that are happening with management at the station. So there's a lot to discuss if you're willing. Sue, you're not the community. What, do you have a question or something? How did you want to?
Hi, and forgive me for not being here at the beginning, but I am glad I could join for part of this. And, you know, what I'm doing right now is got CNN on waiting for this House vote. And as many of you might know, this shutdown is about to end at a great cost, because it will not include the subsidies under the ACA Act. So once it happens, I'll be calling into the station and giving a live update. But meanwhile, for the news department, the biggest thing I can say that we're anticipating in may have been mentioned before is moving from Emma to Constant Contact, at which time we can expand our mailing list. We can expand the number of shows in the newsletter. We will be doing a number of promotions to get people to sign up. And this is our way of encouraging listeners to pay attention to what we're doing. So that's what I have to say. Any questions?
That was perfect timing. Just at the top of the hour. So
yes. Okay.
Thank you so much, Sue.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that Constant Contact, it changed. Like, looks like it's going to expand both, you know, who we reach out to and how much content we can actually send. So that would be great. Anyone from the community, come on, step on up. We had, let's see, what else did we do earlier today? Some interesting things happening around programming. You heard from our program director, a lot of special, days in which we're addressing some of the needs in various communities, locally and internationally, partnering with folks there. You heard about our most recent fund drive. From our membership coordinator, the money's raised there. Our interim general manager, addressed some of the concerns around that particular drive. And then also some of the innovative ways, that they're trying to, you know, continue to raise funds and reach out and expand membership as well. And of course our finance committee, in which we heard about the passage of our budget. Our budget now is based on 3% growth of revenue. Tom has, mentioned to us just some of the, thought process around how we got to that budget, some of the investments in new computers, some transmitter equipment. We heard from the chief engineer in and around his, efforts to maintain a very strong broadcast signal. And of course, community outreach, again, with a very important town hall coming up that I hope that most of the membership is anticipating. So any comment and all comments are welcome. I'll take a moment to tell you what's behind me. So right here in the middle, directly behind me, is a crop that we grew called Callaloo. It's like a green, almost like a spinach or a collard kale, pretty popular in the Caribbean. And so This is a 100-foot greenhouse here. We had an Upper Marlboro, and it's about, this is back prior to the pandemic, so it's been quite a while. It does not exist now, but we had a nice little bumper crop going there. There's some tomatoes on the other side, and I think there's some basil and mint and some other things in there, so. The floor is open. I don't see a lot of... All right. I won't twist arms. We can always come back, you know, if someone in the community has something. Let us know. Ron, go ahead. Member Pinchback.
Yeah, just an observation. We run into this situation quite a few times during, you know, trying to maintain the community comment portion. And I just want to, us to consider some contingencies when we don't have, you know, people, you know, calling in, because, contingencies to go ahead and proceed with the meeting until someone does. So it's just, I think it's a discussion we need to have, you know, at some point. And that's all. That's it.
Yeah. No, I understand. I mean, but you know, by rule, we need to allot 30 minutes. We could break it up, into 15-minute chunks or something like that. But, well, something to think about. We can actually, have that discussion at some point. If someone wants to make a motion, you could do it.
if I could say something.
Member Byfield, you have the floor. Go ahead.
Yes. I would leave that alone. And I've always gone, before the pandemic, we used to have, an average of 34 people trying to talk at community comment, and usually the time was not enough. So to be on the more, on an optimistic, point, I think maybe we want to continue to leave it alone and work towards getting more people involved in community comment. And, you know, if it doesn't happen, then I'm quite sure the chair can handle, anything that, you know, there's enough people on the board that want to say a lot of things. I mean, I want to take the liberty of saying something which I never had the opportunity to say because I'm actually driving, if Mo is still online, the last meeting and the meeting before that, one of the things that, I had been paying attention to was the fact that we are not reaching certain areas in Baltimore that we normally always reach. And I have a few people. One of them is a board member, which is Bill Curtis, that is monitoring that. He lived in Baltimore, but also a listener that calls me on a regular basis to let me know, hey, listen, I can't hear you. So I just have to switch the station, you know. This is not Dundalk or, you know, the far reaches of Baltimore. So I just wanted to, get that information out to Mo, to find out what's going on and what are we going to do about it? Because we talk about our reach as if we have a wide reach, but if we don't, then maybe we really need to face up to what we are actually capable of in terms of our transmission. Thank you.
I'm here. Okay. Thank you, Member Byfield. So I'm hearing your concern about the actual reach of the signal, and that maybe a further, details or information around what the actual capabilities are need to be brought forward by the chief engineer. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful.
Yes.
Got it. I got it. I don't think Mo is here currently. He's stepped away, so we'll have to forward that to him. I don't know. Ellen, were you able to discern that, what I just said, so we can get that question to Mo?
Yes.
Thank you. Ron, go ahead.
You know, Mr. Chair, this is why I'm calling for some discussion on what happens when we run into, I'm not going to call it free time, because we still have a meeting to conclude.
Sure.
And if we don't have community members on the phones, then we need to, and we can't make them call, but by the same token, you know, we could run our meetings, you know, more efficiently. I mean, you give us some way of adjusting that time, so that we can continue with the meeting rather than, you know, jib jab about stuff. You know, we have an agenda and, you know, we're trying to get through. So I'm just saying I just think it's something that we need to discuss. Nobody's trying to, you know, take people off the air or anything like that. But, you know, time is precious. Time is money. So that's it.
Yeah. No, I agree. My intent is not to wait another 20 minutes if there's no hands, but I do still want to give space so that if folks aren't necessarily ready to speak, they're actually, you know, kind of a little bit more patient, then there's time there. So I think the 10 minutes here, that we've waited, I just looked at the numbers. We don't have a large number of non-board members here this evening. So that may be part of it as well. So let us go ahead and pick up our agenda. The next thing up would be our PNB director's reports. And that's members Hewitt, Sanders, Pinchback, and Williams. We'll go in alpha order. And I know member Sanders is not here. So member Hewitt, do you have anything you wanted to speak to us about what's happening at the PNB?
Let's see. Well, so Ron already mentioned that the PNB passed the WPFW budget at the November 6th meeting. We passed a couple of other budgets too. You know, just so people realize that I don't think there was any particular reason why we didn't take this up earlier. I think it was really just the NSC chair was traveling or something, and that there was nothing. It was no disrespect to WPFW. In fact, there were very few questions about the budget. This past meeting that we had on November 6th was, I think, chiefly about committee reports. And of course, my computer just fell asleep. So the governance committee is setting up a process for taking people's suggestions on bylaws amendments. So you'll hear more about that coming down the road at some point. There was also a thing about whether or how people can call special meetings of the PNB. I don't think that concerns this group too terribly much. Finance, governance. The personnel committee is actively trying to get people who have been invited to respond to the annual performance review form for the executive director. It's kind of not dissimilar from the process that we've used at PFW for the GM and PD. Let's see.
those were the most important things I wanted to mention. The one other thing I will bring up, because Ron mentioned it earlier, you know, the PMB talked about raising the $25 minimum membership fee at one meeting, but that was it. It's not been brought up again since then, so I just wanted to report that. So that's my report. Sorry if I skipped anything.
No worries. Let me just follow up. I think I heard you say personnel annual performance review. Is that a, what's the window of the actual review? Is it 1 month to get the responses back, or what's the time frame there?
No, it's actually, the personnel committee didn't get stood up until rather recently. So we're supposed to do an annual evaluation. And last year we did the evaluation, you know, through October and November. And so we got a late start. So people are supposed to respond to it by this Friday. So they really only had a week. So the people who are able to respond to it are directors. And then it's a 360 degree survey, if you will. And so it will be direct reports as well as basically the ED's bosses. So the direct reports are people like GMs, PDs. It's not every GM. I think it is all the GMs, but it's not every PD. Not every station has a PD. So there's some other people that Stephanie Wells works closely with who are in the list. But it's an anonymous survey. That's the innovation that we've made this year. So
yeah, that's the way to do it. All right. Pinchback, anything you'd like to share with the board? I'm sorry, were there any questions for Member Hewitt while it's fresh in your mind? All right, hearing none, Member Pinchback, do you want to bring anything forward?
Yeah, I don't have anything else to add at this juncture except one thing. Julie, let me ask you this. Have the minutes from the last PNB meeting, have those been compiled and completed yet?
Julie Hewitt, are there minutes from the, what date are you looking for, Ron?
Just the last meeting.
The 11/6/2025 meeting? This last Thursday?
Yeah, they're not done yet. Sorry, Ron. I went back to doing the dishes and I couldn't unmute my phone. Sorry.
Okay. All right. So those are not available yet.
No problem. All right. So when those are completed. All right.
Okay.
We'll just make sure they get sent out to the board members once they're completed.
Yep. You bet.
Thank you. Member Williams.
Nothing else to add here.
Thanks, Ron.
Things have actually been moving kind of slowly. We meet just once a month, and we usually get the agenda about 4 hours before the meeting. There aren't a whole lot of issues. As Julie mentioned, the most recent is the evaluation of the ED. The other thing I think that we spent a lot of time at I don't know if this meeting or the last one, there was a committee proposal to, I guess, raise the threshold for what can be at the committee level for what can be discussed at committee in order to try and come up with proposals that would then go to the full board. There was a long debate about a proposal to, that you had to have certain number of people agreeing, you know, like signatures, even to bring it to the committee for discussion. That ended up not going anywhere, and that was tabled till another time. And then there's the, the personnel committee. Otherwise, we've been passing budgets, purging some members. The one thing that this board has shown consistent concern about our Bill of Rights that has been subsumed by a process to do something nationally that hasn't come back up at the PNB in several months. And I don't know what has become of the of that initiative. It never makes it to the floor. And that's where we are.
All right. Thank you, Member Williams. Any questions for any of our directors tonight? All right. I have a few, if I could, just so I understand what's happening at the PNB. So I'm glad you brought up that Bill of Rights. I actually feel bad that I actually forgot about it. It's been so long. So does that fall under this idea that there has to be some sort of threshold to bring it to committee, then to, so that in particular, issues just never come up.
Yeah, that's a different thing that the executive director was working on. My guess is that it was, pushed aside, because of the auditor troubles. So there was a big scramble to find a new, to get an auditor, and get that situation straightened out. So there's a lot of financial, sort of, you know, survival mode stuff, that needs to be addressed. And, you know, that's just not hasn't been a priority. And I don't think it's anything that the board, was working on. We're sort of waiting for the executive director to come back with what she has. She was working with counsel on it and just, has not gotten back to us.
So that's in her purview, not necessarily a board, PNB. Okay. All right. Sounds great. And then, you brought up the audit. So I did see an executive director's report. There's an active search. And so then are we under any kind of potential fines or penalties for being in arrears here on any particular of the filings? I know the 990s, I think, have been done. Are we under any issue in terms of making it or not making a deadline?
Not that I don't know. I'm led to believe that we are not. I don't understand the whole process well enough to be definitive, and I would defer. I guess Minerva's not here. Julie may be closer to that. I don't know if she's had any, you know, in discussions with the chair and or the ED, any clarification on our status as a result of the auditing stuff.
Yeah.
Let me jump in here and answer that question, for people's benefit. So, what the executive director was hoping to do is that we would wind up picking a new audit firm, you know, relatively quickly, and that what she could do is go back to the California Attorney General, and tell them, hey, you know, cause we've gotten a, extension on the deadline to file our audit. And what she wants to be able to do is go back with the good news part. You know, the bad news part is we had to switch auditors. The good news part being that we have a new auditor so that they would, you know, in principle, look more kindly upon our, request for an additional extension. So that's the thinking but I don't, not being on the audit committee, I don't have anything to report about how close we are to that point.
Okay. All right. And then, I think that was all that I had. Yep. Any other questions for our directors at this time? All right. Hearing none, thank you, all three of you, so much for representing us at the national board. Very important positions. Program committee report, that is chaired by Member Sanders. She's not here. Do we have anybody that would like to, I think, Member Hirsch, would you like to report on the happenings at the program committee or no?
Sure. I'll be real quick. Most of what our meeting, dealt with last time was, the project that we're doing where people are going to listen to different shows, shows they like, shows they don't like, shows they don't know. Member Chiasi took it upon himself to put together a draft form to help facilitate that. And we were all very happy that he did that. Katia took time to review that. She had some suggestions for things that she wanted to include with that. So we got that for, that input. And, David, if I could put you on the spot, how far have you gone in terms of, updating that draft with, Katia's suggestions and the other suggestions?
Yeah, it's already updated. I had sent out the final one, I guess, you know, within a day of our meeting or maybe, yeah. So yeah, that I put that out there.
Beautiful. I thought that you had. And, do you recall if Katia has okayed that or given other input on that?
My understanding is that she okayed it because, I incorporated her suggestions and just added to what I had. I changed one thing. I think, she, you know, something about professionalism, replaced, something I came up with, like, you know, it, is the host, you know,
I think we will work with some. Yeah. I think we were working with polite. And then we went back and forth and decided that polite might not necessarily be exactly what we're looking for in all instances, but we are looking for the programmers to be professional. Does that ring a bell at all?
Yes, it does. And I made that change.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so what I'd like to do is have a quick motion that, David, if you could send that to the entire LSB. And if we could all take a look at it and approve that either at this meeting, if there's time, or next meeting, more likely.
Let's do this. I don't think we need a motion for that, but please do send the, completed form to Ellen. Ellen will get it out to the full board. And then if you will, we can have any kind of discussion at our December meeting. And then from there, go ahead and give our blessings. If so, if not, then we can make some changes. But yeah, give some folks some time to review that document. It sounds like management is okay with it. So, hopefully there's not too much more that has to go into it, but send it to Ellen and then Ellen will get it out to everybody.
That would work for me. Thank you. I'd also like to ask any of the other members of the committee if they feel I might have left something out or wanted to emphasize anything. And thank you again, David, for taking the initiative on that.
Sure.
Yep. Sure. Any other program committee members, whether you're an LSB delegate or not, you have something you'd like to add to the program committee report?
Or if anybody else, Ron, or if anybody else wants to ask any questions.
Well, I do see Ron's hand. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, just one question. Would it be proper procedure to distribute something that has the committee, you know, voted? The program committee, have they voted on this? And if not, if, you know, should we get a vote on that, before, distributing it widely?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I missed the question. You're asking if the committee itself voted on the document.
Right.
Okay. Any votes taken, Mike?
We were operating by consensus. So I think that there were no objections to the draft as it went out. We didn't have a formal vote, but,
okay.
Yeah, I think that we're in good shape as far as that's concerned, but very good point, Ron. Thank you.
Member Pinchback, are you comfortable with that? Or would you rather have a committee vote?
Well, a committee vote would strengthen, you know, the measure, but you know, I can live without it.
Okay. All right. I think with the fact that we've kind of been talking about this for almost 12 months, I was at the meeting. I did feel there was consensus on the document that was produced. So, it has my support if that means anything. Marcia, you're on that committee. Would you like to speak to anything?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to clarify something. A statement was made earlier that the committee would be working with that evaluation about likes and dislikes for programming. And I think we need to clarify the fact that the committee thought that the criteria should not be about likes and dislikes, but to try to make the instrument something that was objective as possible and not about personal feelings about any program or programmer. And that was one of the reasons we spent as much time as we did trying to aid in helping to flesh out the instrument that our committee member, Kiasi, actually put forward, because we wanted it clear that this was not about personal or individual likes, but about some standard of objectivity that could be used across the board. Thank you.
Yeah, no, that's correct. That was a reason why there was, you know, additional time spent on tweaking the document. So yes, I do appreciate that clarification. I'm sure the rest of the committee does as well. All right. Any other questions for program committee? All right. Thank you all. Hearing none, we'll go on to our relocation committee. Relocation committee is chaired by Member Williams. Dennis, are you available?
I'm here.
All right, sir. What do you have?
Okay. I'll make the report brief and have any questions. So we've been actually working on kind of two tracks. Main one both of them have a lot to do with money. Turns out that, we're saving a lot of money, with the reduced rent, this year. All of that is not, as much sort of free money as we sort of giddily anticipated at the beginning of the year. You know, a lot of issues, technical issues with the, you know, with the killer rat and a lot of things, a lot of equipment, things that needed to be taken care of. And that's fine. We've been able to do that. We weren't able to sort of sock away as much money, for long-term planning as we had hoped. Tom has done a great job, managing what we have. So one of the things that we've been thinking about in relocation is, the idea of coming up with a target number of what we need to get to for relocation expense, and pairing that with some recommendations about, you know, what are some specific things that we can do that members of that committee can help with to help raise that money to get to that number. That's the big picture. More specifically, we've met in the last two meetings have been, closed meetings, because, we are discussing a potential partnership, that could lead to some form of ownership. We're meeting in closed session because, of the status of our potential partner, which is not yet settled. We hope that will be resolved within the next month or so. At that point, we would then be able to come to the public, to the board and the membership, and discuss in detail the particular proposition that that we're is under consideration now. In the meantime, members of the committee have been vetting the space, and also members of the committee are taking a specific look at the to estimate the build out costs for so the build out and moving costs for that particular space. So we would have that number, and if that seems like that's, if we recommend that to be a go, and if that falls apart, then that will then also be a basis for, you know, will the big wherever number will be based on that specific number. So that work is going to be valuable, regardless. Looking at that as a sort of a good specific example of what it takes to build out a space like that, if it turns out not to be that particular space. So that's where we are. Hope to be in a position to bring some kind of recommendations. Looks like it probably won't be by December, but hopefully by the beginning of next year, to the LSB. That's where we're at.
All right. Thank you so much for that report. You all have heard the relocation committee report. Are there any questions? I can take a stab. All right. Hearing none, I'm on the committee, but really quickly, I think it, you know, Dennis, if we could, the pressure with which the committee was faced with a year or so ago has been somewhat alleviated because we have a pretty solid rental situation. That rental situation continues through 2026 or
2027? I'm not sure. Because it was, I mean, it's definitely through 26, and I think it may have been through 26 with sort of with an option to continue.
Okay. All right.
If it wasn't specifically to 27, then there was a general understanding that it could be 27 if both parties wanted it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Any other questions? All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and move on to our unfinished business at this time. So as you all recall, I hope at our last, meeting, we had a bit of a, discussion. Well, it was a presentation. I've been trying to keep you all abreast of how I'm going through the bylaws, the 2025 bylaws and, you know, what the impacts are on this particular body and of course on your membership specifically. So because both of those things have changed under these 2025 bylaws. So Member Chiasi asked for a confidence vote on these particular bylaws. What you should have in your inboxes right now, so if you are able to, please go to your email, and that would be the email that is connected with the LSB, obviously. And so there you'll find an open vote and a question that contains a statement, and I'll read it out for you, even though you still have it, I will read it out. The question on the support for the bylaws reads as such. On April 4th, 2025, the Pacifica National Board changed the bylaws of the foundation. Based on what you know about the process to deliver these bylaws and or the actual revisions that have been made, do you approve the adoption of the 2025 bylaws going forward? Your open vote should be a yes or a no. Those numbers will be compiled. Now, what we do with this is going to be up to you all and up to this body. Having votes and saying yes or no on something is great. What's the impact? You know, what actually should be done with the information once received? But if you don't have in your email this particular OPA vote, you got to let Ellen know. So I'll pause right here. For those who don't, or for those who can check, please do. And because there's no immediate impact on this meeting, I'm going to suggest, and you all can give me some feedback here, that we leave the response time open through the end of the week. All right. That each member, obviously you can only vote once, but that you have until, and, we'll call it, midnight on Friday. Friday is the 14th. All right. So midnight, 11:14, Ellen will have whatever she has then. Those will be the final votes and we'll have the percentages at that time. Any discussion with that particular process? Member Avery Brown, you have the floor.
I just have a question. So we're looking for an email from Ellen, and
no.
Okay.
Go ahead. Not from Ellen. It's going to say OPA vote voting link. OPA vote voting link.
I don't have it. I can show you that. That's right.
You're saying you do not? Okay.
I don't. I checked.
Can you confirm with Ellen your email?
Sure. What do you want me to? I'm sure she has it. I get everything else from Ellen.
check your spam then, because that would be.
I will.
Yeah, or your junk, whatever the two. All right. And work with Ellen now so that you can make sure you have it. Remember,
you know,
Timmy
what?
Clemens.
Excuse me. Can I say something?
Who? Oh, Ellen, you have something. Go ahead. And then,
I have my hand up.
Yeah.
Okay. The vote would have to be now and come in. We can't keep it on there until next week or until you're saying longer. They can vote now, and then we would have the result of the yes or no.
So, okay.
And then they will get the result also. That will be sent back to them. Could you get everyone to look at it, make their vote, so then I can go back and check and make sure. So now we know Verna may not have it, so I have to check on that. Is there anyone else that does not have the email?
Let me ask you this.
And the email would come from me.
Found it in my junk mail.
I don't have it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, hold on.
And if you could vote now, and then you will receive the results. I have nothing to do with it, but it has to be done now.
Well, okay, so there isn't a...
This is the same thing that I use when we have the vote for chair and the different positions. So the vote has to be done now. Thank you, all of you that have voted, because I've seen people saying they voted. But I need to know that you have the email and that you vote yes or no.
I do not have the email.
Michelle, okay, yes. I have you on there, but if you could send me your email too, so I'll check.
All right.
Emailed you. Can you send it back to that?
Yeah, hold on.
I've gotten all your other emails.
Hold it, everybody. Before we say we don't have, just check the various spam or junk. Just in case. And then if you don't find it there, then fine. Let's have Ellen resend it. But Ellen, okay, you checked. All right. Perfect. So you need a new email, but Ellen, let me just make sure I understand. There is or isn't a time frame for voting. You have to do it within a particular hour or a particular day.
You have to do it now. Yes.
That's something that you're imposing, or is that the way OPAVOTE works?
No, that's the way it works.
Okay. All right.
See, they have a thing of action, and I have to click a thing when everybody's made their vote. I have to click and say, stop voting.
Okay. Okay.
You can't do it over a period of time.
Okay. All right.
That's why I was saying it's better to do it on Zoom if you wanted to do this is a company that, okay.
Well, I think we're okay. Can we have it till the end of the meeting? Is that before we adjourn? Is that all right? Or
you could do that, but
okay.
People have to start voting.
Okay.
So that all they right, can so, do the count.
Not a problem. Let's okay. then everybody strike what I said earlier. Quickly find the OPA vote link, vote, and then by the end of this meeting, Ellen will be able to compile the numbers. Okay. There are a few members who are not here. That's kind of why I was hoping we could extend it. But if not, then we have to go with who's responded by the time we adjourn. Okay. Everybody okay with that?
I'm not sure.
Well, go ahead. What's your issue?
Well, because of those members that are not here, that's it, you know, because we got members that aren't here and, you know.
Let me ask you this, Ron. Before you go into it, I think I know where you're going. If you miss a PNB meeting and they have a vote, do you get to vote?
No.
Right. That's all we're doing.
I understand, but this is an important question.
It is.
It's a very important question. And I'm sure that those people who are not here, you know, would like to participate in this. So what's wrong with sending out an email to all the board members, letting them know that this process is going to take place, you know, and that you have a certain amount of time to vote and be done. I guess that's what I'm getting at. So,
all right, let me.
You know, I'm not sure if that can be done or not, but that's what I'm getting at.
I'm gonna do you one better. I have here who is not present. I have Adams, Bruce. Is Goodwin still here? I had her as absent, but she did pop in.
No, she's working on a news report. Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Lane Sanders. So those are the people who technically who are not present here that would then have to have an opportunity to vote. You have Sanders, Lane, Bruce, and Adams. Can anybody call them? Because Ellen sent it to everybody. Let them know that they have to vote on this open vote before we adjourn. I'd say we're probably close to another 30 minutes, maybe 45 max. If they can respond in that time frame, their vote will be recorded. So folks who are able to reach out to Adams, Bruce, Goodwin, Lane, Sanders. Those are your five. So somebody be a good Samaritan and reach out. All right. We covered there, Ron, I think. The reason why I think we need to do it tonight, Ron, because we're going to run into an issue 30 days from now with someone else not showing up.
No, I understand that. I guess I'm concerned about, you know, the phone calls. I mean, shouldn't the secretary make those calls?
I don't know if she has everybody's number. I'm trying to help her because some folks are closer to other members than not. So that's
right.
So I'm hoping that, like, for example, Bruce, I have Bruce's number. I'm about to text him now.
All right. Well,
Ellen, do you have everybody's phone number? Ellen?
I don't have everyone's number. I could probably call.
Let me, do you have Adams?
KP, what's his name?
Otis. Yeah.
And he could give, why don't we do this? It sounds like every, you know, this is not, if you have to have everyone vote, it probably is better. I'll just cancel it. And then when you have everyone where you can make these calls and all, we could do it that way. Okay.
So are we sure, Ellen, that?
So you want me to call, you're saying Minerva. Okay. First of all, would you get ready to say?
Yeah. So just so I'm clear, do you have to close the vote tonight? Can't you leave it open until Friday and close it then?
To my knowledge, we have to keep it open. I mean, we have to keep it done tonight. They don't, you know, this is a company that, I don't know if you weren't here years ago. We used to use, this company, and they told me about OPA, and I started using it. And it was because we could do ranked voting.
Right.
But even they suggest, that's why I was suggesting doing the polling on Zoom, because a lot of times when it's a motion question and to do polling, this is preferable. This is a company that you actually can't keep them on hold for a whole week.
No, it's not a week now. We're just going until this Friday, 2 days from
now. Yeah, well, that's, well, until this Friday, yes.
Okay. All right.
So you want me to cancel it?
No, don't cancel anything. I want folk, if this, first of all, we're going to go with who we have. All right. I understand everybody wants everyone's vote to be counted, but if you don't show up, you can't be counted. Just that simple. So we're not going to start a precedent here where we're holding votes every time there's a motion. It's going to set a very bad precedent. So what we need to do, you all know there's emails out there that Ellen sent for them to respond to. I read the members off who are not here. Reach out to them. If they don't respond, they don't count, their vote's not counted. It's just that simple. Member Williams, go ahead. Dennis, you have the floor.
Yeah, okay. This is sort of a post-vote question. I don't know if we decided when this first came up last month, what we want to do with the results. I don't know if the, if you as chair want to communicate the results to, the chair of the PNB, if you'd like, one of the PNB officers to do it, if you'd like another director, to do it, just how you would like to communicate the results to the PNB. That's all.
Yeah. No, great question. And I was just in my mind, I was thinking about that because we actually didn't talk about that at, last month's meeting about what actually does happen once you do have this vote. So I think that the results should be communicated and coming from this body, you know, typically any motions, this is historically now, correct me if I'm wrong. Any motions that were passed typically were sent to the secretary of the PNB to be then sent to the full body. So that's the intent here. We'll, once Ellen has the results, we'll go ahead and email that directly to the secretary of the national board. I'll have a comment in there, I guess, but yeah, that'll be the,
yeah.
Member Dixon Briggs, welcome.
I do not see that particular email from Ellen. I've got a bunch of them, but I don't see one with an OPA vote.
Nothing in your spam, nothing in your junk.
Do you see one from OPA vote?
Oh, from directly from OPA vote?
Yes.
Not sure which email address. I'll check.
I'm just like Vanessa. I see a bunch of emails, but I don't see anything from OpaVote. Even in my junk mailbox, I don't see any.
Okay, so that's two. Member Hirsch, is that your problem also, or?
I actually did see the email. My thinking is that hopefully we can resolve this, because if people who are in the meeting aren't getting the email and aren't finding it, then, you know, it's not going to be satisfactory to me and to other people as well. Sure. I mean, you know, I've been able to vote, but I want all the members to have a chance.
Excuse me for a minute. I want to tell Michelle, I've added your email that you gave me, but I think you initially gave us another email. So I added what you just, you should be getting it. Let me know if you do.
I don't know where it is. I know what I did. I went back to primary and I put OpaVote on it. And this time I found it.
Okay.
It was not listed in my regular emails, and I don't know why, but I just went and voted.
Yeah. If you have Gmail, it's gonna separate some of the vote, some of your emails. All right. So you gotta check all the little compartments.
Excuse me for a minute. Could I say something? If you, for any reason, have changed your email in the last year, please let me know. And then I can add you, because I have it open right now, adding anybody who's changed it. And if you could let me know if you haven't received it and you haven't been able to vote yet, please let me know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fair enough. Thank you. Member Avery Brown, and then we're going to try and move forward.
I found mine and I voted, and I wish that, and I would support everyone that's here tonight be able to vote. But for those who are absent, if I recall correctly, you announced this at the last meeting that we were going to be taking this vote. And if people are absent, then they just kind of forfeit their opportunity to vote. If it had not been announced, that would be different. And I agree with you that we shouldn't be changing the rules to every time we take a vote, we wait until everybody's notified. We hold it back until everybody can vote. So I'm in support of everybody that's here tonight being able to find it and vote. But the other four that you mentioned, if they were at the last meeting, they knew that we were taking this vote tonight. If they opted not to be here, then they forfeited their chance.
I don't understand.
Fair enough. Anybody still struggling? Member Nyawi, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I just wanted to say that I just looked at the email and it went out at 6:39 p.m.
Right.
So it'd be a good way for people to find it if it's not obvious. And I also wanted to mention that the motion was on the agenda for today, which went out in the mail, in the email, and it was also on the minutes from last week, which we all received. So, I mean, we have to kind of be responsible for looking at our email when it comes to this.
But, I'm sorry. This is Michelle. I just have to report that I have been looking through the different little pockets where emails might be, and I know that it's 6:39, but it's still not showing up in my regular email. And when I looked at all of the OpaVotes in my record, they all were being sent to the correct email. So I really don't know what the problem is, but I'm glad I came to the, I'm glad I was at the meeting, because I would have missed it.
Okay. I think we can do this. Ellen, correct me if I'm wrong. You can send Ellen your vote and she can tally it, I believe.
No, but I'm hoping that Ellen sees it. I found it. That's why I said I found it in another pocket, but it's just not showing up in my regular email.
Okay. All right. So you have it though.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I voted.
Excellent. Anyone else struggling? If not, then we can move forward. Ellen, I would ask that you not close that until we go down to our action items. And once we're at our action items, you close the OpaVote at that time.
Okay. All right.
All right. Perfect. All right, new business. Again, related to the bylaws. If you all go through the 2025 bylaws, there is Article 3, Section 12, which requires, as part of the transition from the 2020, I don't know when the other ones were last, amended, but the prior bylaws to the 2025 bylaws, there's a transition period. Within that transition period, this body is required, to put in place what's called a membership / fundraising coordinator and a community outreach coordinator. I did put a question out to our directors. I was not completely sure what either one of those particular positions were supposed to do. I think it may be, now that I kind of just sat on it for a while, it may be that we kind of, you know, make it up as we go and kind of figure it out how we want, these particular individuals to function. But it is required in the bylaws in the transition, and we need to have nominations for these particular coordinators. So if you have, a desire to be either the membership / fundraising coordinator or the community outreach coordinator, you can, I guess, I don't know if you can self-nominate. I think you can. You should be able to self-nominate, for either one of the two, or you can nominate somebody for either one of the two. All right. So I'll pause here. If you have any nominations, we'll accept them now. If you have a self-nomination, we'll accept them now. Anybody, I see your hand, Member Williams, go ahead.
Yeah, is there any restriction by membership class?
In the transition, it was not indicated that membership class was a restriction. It is indicated, when the bylaws, are in full effect.
After the next election.
It is restricted. Yes, you are correct. Yeah, but no restrictions as I read it.
I would nominate for outreach our current outreach chair, Violetta Diamond.
One nomination for Member Diamond for community outreach coordinator. Member Diamond, do you accept?
I will accept unless someone else wants to do it, because I only have one, I only have 1 year left.
No, it's not an if and or. If you want it, you just say yes. If not, say no.
But feel free to nominate.
Okay. All right. So she accepts. Any other nominations at all? Either for community outreach coordinator or membership / fundraising coordinator. Member Kiyasi, you have the floor.
Yeah, I would like to come up with this approach. We have the two positions that you're talking about already have chairs in our current structure. Why wouldn't we just say that the current chair in the old structure will go into the new structure?
No.
So there's a formality that's asked for in the transition. I am trying to fulfill that. I don't know if there's a membership / fundraising coordinator currently, anything like that. I know what you're saying there. The community outreach one, which I think is what Member Williams just did, the natural kind of fit would be our current chair of the community outreach. So I think you're in line there. David, with what, Dennis was saying, but, the other positions really is probably brand new, and I'm not sure there's anything that naturally fits in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Member Williams, yes.
Yeah, I just want to say that the other value in having us, sort of engage with this in this way is that, these are going to be the two areas, of work for the local station board. As you mentioned, one of the committees now is largely staffed by volunteers who are not currently members of the board. And the other committee doesn't exist. So we have probably, 18 or 19, current members of the board now who are not actively engaged with either of these committees. Because I said one of them doesn't even exist right now. So, this process is also a way of getting folks to think about these, actively, because this is about to become the business of the local station board.
Yep. No question about it. Thank you for that. Any other nominations? So what I'm going to do is we're going to go ahead and cast one unanimous vote, from Member Diamond. She will move forward as our community outreach coordinator. Through the transition, any opposition? Probably not.
Hello, I did make a nomination.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Member Byfield, please go ahead.
I nominate Jeanette Pickney for outreach chair.
Community outreach coordinator. So what you want her to do? Nomination?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Member Pickney, you've been nominated as community outreach coordinator. Do you accept the nomination?
Not at this time, thank you. I don't feel like I know enough about the workings of the station and the board. I'm still very new. Maybe next time around. Are you hearing me okay? I'm not clear from my phone. Okay.
100%. We got you. Thank you so much. All right.
Thank you, though, Michael. I think.
Okay.
Almost got you. Any other nominations? All right. So we have our community outreach coordinator going forward, Member Diamond. Anybody who would like to nominate, a member for the membership / fundraising coordinator, or if you feel like you'd like to step up and, self-nominate for that position, please pass that on to Ellen, and, we will then, hear those nominations at the next meeting and make a determination then going forward. Member Williams, yes, you have the floor.
Yeah, I got another idea. For membership fundraising, I'm going to nominate Art Highland.
Member Highland, you've been nominated for membership / fundraising coordinator. Do you accept the nomination?
I knew you were going to do that. You know, as much as I'd like to, I'm not sure what this job looks like. It's going to be a brand new position. And frankly, I'm already doing a lot of stuff right now as far as development on the, committee with Miyuki and the plan giving and the news newsletters. So I'm going to say thank you, but I'm going to pass.
Sounds like membership and fundraising.
Yeah, it does. I know it does. So I'm kind of doing that stuff already. I'm more of a worker bee, not necessarily a chair, so.
Understood. Yeah. All right, Member Highland has declined the nomination. Anything else? Like I said, Member Byfield, you have something?
No.
Oh, thought you said so. All right. All right, so like I said, we have a membership fundraising coordinator left to fill. Those who feel in their spirit that they want to take on that role, you know, please step up and let Ellen know. Or if you have some nominations, another member you'd like to nominate, please respond and let Ellen know as well. All right. So that's kind of the pace of things now as we move forward. All right. These are, the touch points within the bylaws that, we're trying to recognize and, you know, move forward accordingly. All right. All right. New business number two, and this is something I put in. Hopefully you all saw this, motion to change the regular meeting date. So what's going on here? What's currently happening going forward in these new bylaws is that individuals are no longer solely representing their station. The representatives And for example, I said this because it really impacts, staff. We end up representing all the staff throughout the network. It's no longer just, you know, left to the local station. So in order to really effectuate any kind of relationship, you have to know what's going on at the other stations. And currently, and you have to let yourself be known at the other stations. Currently, we conflict with two other station boards in terms of what day we meet on. The second Wednesday conflicts with both Houston and New York. And what I'm asking of this body is to open a discussion around, do we have a Wednesday, an alternative Wednesday, third Wednesday, first Wednesday, fourth Wednesday? I wouldn't move the actual day of the week, but the actual Wednesday that this occurs, is there a way in which it would be acceptable to the membership to allow for a different day here and therefore begin to allow, you know, the members who may potentially want to understand the workings of the other signal areas have an opportunity to join those other, meeting times and dates. So that's kind of where my thinking is with that. And I open the floor for discussion. Is there anybody who has a thought about, for or against potentially changing the actual day that we meet? Not, it'll still be a Wednesday, I'm hoping, but just not the second Wednesday, maybe the third or so on. Member Hewitt, I see your hand, and then member Dixon Briggs.
Yeah, I endorse changing this. So one of the things that just personally I found to be problematic, because I was on the National Finance Committee for, I think, 2 years, and the second week of the month, when the PMB was meeting more frequently, I wound up being in a local finance committee meeting on Monday, National Finance Committee meeting on Tuesday, LSB meeting on Wednesday, and a PMB meeting on Thursday, as it is now. This week is exactly the same thing for me, except that it's the PMB Governance Committee meeting instead of the PMB meeting. And so I like the idea of moving away from the second Wednesday. I wouldn't pick the first Thursday. I'm sorry, the first Wednesday. I will say that the NFC meets on the second and fourth Tuesdays routinely. The PMB meets on the first Thursday, and the Governance Committee meets on the second Thursday. And I don't know that we have a routine with the Personnel Committee. We've met a couple of times on Mondays. So anyway, but that leaves, you know, the third and the fourth Wednesday as being, I think, kind of really pretty wide open. My two cents. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. Is there anyone who opposes a change? I'll take them at this time. Or if not, we'll just go through the stack. All right, Dixon Briggs, you have the floor.
No, I don't oppose it. I just wanted to comment on what a brilliant idea I think it is, if the structure is going to change, to reschedule our meeting to be able to listen in on other meetings. Just as a comment.
All right. Excellent. Thank you. Member Tingley Clemens, you have the floor.
Yes, I was actually going to suggest that the third Wednesday of the month. So
third? Okay. Thank you. Member Williams.
Sort of a neutral comment. I think the idea of aligning with the other local station boards makes a lot of sense. The idea of aligning with PNB meetings, with national meetings, might as well change again next year, because there will be no overlap between the work of the local station boards and the work of the national board. There'll be two entirely different groups. So that won't matter after this coming year. But in terms of working with other local station boards, it makes sense. So Yeah. Six and one half dozen in the other.
Yep, yep. All right. Thank you for that. Member Chiasi and then Member Hirsch in that order.
Yes, I would, I think we should not go with a fourth Wednesday because in 2 months of the year, November and December, it could very possibly come during a holiday week. And, you know, then we probably end up skipping that meeting because of that. So I'm for the third Wednesday if we're going to change it.
All right. Appreciate that. Yeah, that would be terrible to try and do it right before Turkey Day. All right. Member Hirsch.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just concerned that we don't move it and then one of the other stations moves theirs the same day that we move ours to. So I just want to be, you know, cognizant of that possibility, and hopefully one of them will move so they won't be both meeting the same week. And that, so, you know, that does kind of limit our choices. And I think that, David's point is very well taken. We don't want to be caught up in the holidays.
Yeah. I mean, there are three on this current day today. There is some time frame, you know, the actual time of day that they start, but they would overlap. They naturally overlap, even if we have, you know, time zone issues. So, all right.
So theoretically, one would be the first, one would be the second, one would be the third. And if we go with the third, then we can ask the other two to figure out where they want to go.
So, is this a motion? Are you making a motion that we go for the third and then determine where the others are going to go? Or do you want to go ahead and just handle what we need to handle here?
I think the former would make more sense. We'll pick and then ask them to pick, you know, between the two of themselves, which one is going to stay, which one's going to go the first. And then everybody can.
All right.
Listen in on each other's meetings.
Let's split it up. I'm gonna help you out here. So the first motion is to change the local station board, the WPFW local station board meeting date to the third Wednesday of each month beginning at 6:30 PM. I'll repeat that. The motion on the floor being presented is that the WPFW local station board change its regular meeting date to the third Wednesday of each month beginning at 6:30 PM. Do you have that, Ellen?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any discussion? Member Williams.
Yeah. So we know that New York and Houston are currently on the same day as us on the second Wednesday. Do we know if moving to the third would conflict with either Berkeley or Los Angeles?
I'm pretty sure they're on the weekends, which is an odd thing, okay. But they do weekends. Yeah.
You're right. They are. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Member Dixon Briggs.
Yeah, so when would this be effective?
I would start it effective. Yeah, good point. We can amend it really quickly. I would affect it on January, starting 2026, January, New Year.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Chair.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? All right. Hearing none. I don't think we need a roll call. Is there any opposition to the motion?
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Pinchback, you have the floor.
I just had a question.
Of course. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a question. Now these other stations, the other stations are not obligated to follow our lead at all, right? So what happens if, they decide, you know, they want Thursday, you know, as opposed to another day or whatever. So, just dealing with the craziness of the network.
Yeah.
You know, they may say, well, we don't want to move. We don't, you know, so. It's just a reality that we may have to face.
I'm
not sure how we would address that.
Yeah. I think Ron, you know, this is something, you know, of our doing that again, my initial kind of selling, if you will, of the idea is that we allow our members to extend ourselves throughout the network. I'm not sure what the other members, with the other stations would like to do, but I think it's important if we're going to challenge for these positions and these seats at the national level that we actually have an understanding of what's happening. We're not getting necessarily a lot of details, you know, that come down to us, you know, through the national board. You gotta be active and go out and grab that information. And so I think this would allow our membership at least to begin to do that. What the others do, I think, is moot. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So we're willing to go alone if necessary. I just want to confirm that.
I'm asking the body. We're in the middle of the discussion. If we're not willing to go alone, then it'll be shot down. I think right now we're trying to figure out, you know, do we want to do this? So the motion on the floor again is to change our regular meeting date from the second Wednesday to the third, beginning, at the January meeting. All right. Member Hewitt.
Okay. Yeah, just to respond to Ron, I mean, I think the point here is that we want to be different than the other two LSBs, right? Because that gives us more coverage. Now, it'd be great, you know, in terms of people being able to make themselves known to the other LSBs and other listener areas, if at least one of the other two stations that meets on the second Wednesday switch their evening, but not to the same night as ours, just to a different night, right? And I think that, you know, by the logic that Kamau laid out at the beginning, I think that's the optimum outcome here. We're just moving first. That's how I see this, and I think it's a smart move. Thanks.
Yeah, we can only make decisions for our signal station. We can't influence anybody else, but I do think once it's known, because obviously KPFTX, we got to post these meetings, folks will understand, oh, I can, you know, mm-hmm. jump on PFW now on the third Wednesday. You know, you'll start to see a little bit more ability to share, you know, time between stations for individuals. So, Member Williams, Member Kiyasi, Member Avery Brown, in that order.
Yeah, like Julie said, we would be making a move to avoid a conflict and not necessarily anticipating that anybody else would change. If they do, it might be nice. But as it is now, then the only overlap would be a station that meets in New York and a station that meets in Houston. And there is a time differential. So theoretically, people could still attend parts of both of those. So, you know, if one of them wants to move to the first, fine. But our move doesn't really depend on or anticipate anybody else necessarily doing anything. We are getting out of the way to avoid a conflict.
Correct. Thank you. Member Kiyasi and then Member Avery Brown.
Okay, I'd like an amendment to the motion.
Go ahead.
To say that we want the third Wednesday, but that our chair, you, get in touch with the chairs in Houston and New York to get an idea whether the third, whether they have an issue with us having a third. They, you know what I mean? To kind of, between the three of you, decide who gets what day, but saying that, you know, that WPFW wants the third
Wednesday. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm tempted to, I don't think that's well received, Member Kiyasi, only because what that then says to us currently is that our voting really is moot. We don't really need to make a decision tonight. We need to do some more research and come back. It sounds like what you're suggesting. And, which is, you know, you can make that suggestion, but I don't know if that's necessarily, at least that's not how I envision this particular discussion going. I thought that we could have a conversation around how we want to operate our business. Let the others, you know, fall in place behind us. We're kind of taking the lead on this.
Okay, I'll drop my amendment then. All right.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Yeah. Member Avery Brown and Member Tingling Clemens.
Yeah, no, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter what they do. I mean, we are going to decide to move our date, and we just make the announcement that we have moved our dates so that we can all have access to other meetings. And if they're smart, they will not try to step on the same date and just do work accordingly to their schedules. Let's not overthink this. We don't need to ask anybody if we can move our date. I think that's completely up to us, and we just need to do it and move on.
Fair enough. All right. We'll end the stack there. So you hear the motion on the floor. Is there any opposition to the motion at this point?
Ma'am.
This Who's is that?
Michelle. Yeah, Michelle.
Yes. Go ahead.
I just want to say that, I agree with both you and Verna. So I would like to make, I think that you're both right. We're not asking for permission. We're just making a decision and sharing it with the network.
Gotcha. Yep. Thank you. I'll open it up one more time. Any opposition to our motion to move our regular meeting date to the third Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. starting at the January 2026 meeting? All right. Hearing none, so moved. I will update all the particulars. Ellen and I will work on that to make sure everybody's informed. But beginning in January, it'll be the third Wednesday. So check your calendars. Let's update everything going forward. Appreciate it. I think this is going to help a lot of us kind of get more in touch with the rest of the network, as is what is being required of us in these new bylaws. All right. Excellent. Thank you. Ellen.
Yes.
We're at our action items summary. I want to know, has everybody that was able to, who had received the email, voted already? Has anyone not, how about this? Has anyone not voted? I'll use the language of Member Hirsch. Has anybody not voted? All right. Sounds like everybody.
So I'll now I'm going to hit vote.
Hold on. Let me ask again. Has anybody not voted?
Yes, I have not voted yet.
Okay. Did you check your email junk and all the other little areas?
I'll do it one last time.
Yeah. Please do. While he does that, I think that's everything. Wow, we went through a lot today. Okay. Oh, so what I was trying to allude to before around what these particular responsibilities are for the coordinators that we have to choose. I think that's going to have to be a work in progress. I don't think there's anything in writing as to, you know, specifically what you're required to do. It's kind of implied in the titles. But I think you should be able to kind of freely explore different ways in which to serve in that capacity. Some of which may be similar to what you're already doing. In this case of the membership fundraising, it sounds like, you know, it's pretty much brand new. So, you know, the person who decides to do that can be really creative in how they bring that forward. So someone who's willing to kind of do that and be, you know, kind of at the vanguard of fundraising, you know, should go ahead and serve in that capacity. Go ahead, Member Williams, while we wait.
Yeah, I was just going to say along those lines that whoever takes that role as a first step should probably get with Sotaria, you know, sort of learn the ins and outs of membership and how the board can be useful for some of the things that she's already thinking that she would like to do and maybe needs, you know, needs more folks to help make that happen. Miyuki mentioned that there's a development committee sort of ad hoc that's in place, you know, talking to those folks, and probably also connecting with the, I think it's, Craig Williams is, in charge of the Jazz and Justice Circle and major donor. You know, see what, again, are there ideas in place that can use, you know, more folks to help, activate some of those ideas. Just as a starter, you know, to see, you know, what's already out there they can use more. And then that can, you know, lead to other, you know, the committee can brainstorm other ways to move. But that seems like a good place to start.
Great points. Appreciate that. All right, Member Byfield, we want to get out of here. So what do you got?
It's not here. So I'm really just going to send an email to Ellen.
Okay.
You don't have it because I made sure yours, because the last time you said you didn't, I made sure this time. Okay. You can send me an email.
Oh yeah. I'll just send you.
If everybody trusts me to say.
Yeah. We're good.
Yeah. I'm with the majority. I'm pretty much with the majority, so I don't really, it's not a big deal.
Remember, it says it's from Oprah vote, Michael. It's from Ellen.
Yeah, I did a search and I came up with the same thing that, Michelle came up with. The last Oprah was in February or something. And then there's a list of older dates from Oprah vote. And, you know, I consider myself to be fairly savvy when it comes to email. So it's not here.
Excuse me for a minute. So Michelle had an old one, or she? I thought she said
no,
she
found it. Don't
start rumors. She found her, right?
She found
her. I didn't find mine.
Okay. All right. So now I can close the vote.
Yeah, we don't have to wreck our brains over it. I'll just send you my vote. Okay.
Okay. So I'm closing the vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Stop voting. All right. Results and ballots. Okay. Okay, so.
All right, so has everyone voted who wishes to vote, right? Okay. So polls are closed. I mean, I know Ellen just did that, but officially the question's been asked. Everyone who wants to vote or wishes to vote has voted. Our polls are closed. Okay. Go ahead, Ellen.
Okay, and so the result, and also I can send the result to everyone.
Please do.
Okay. The no's won. The winner was no.
Okay.
All right.
Let's send those out to everybody, the results. And then, you and I, we'll have to just craft a correspondence to, the national board about it.
Okay.
All right.
Okie dokie.
All right. So we're at, our, action items. I think right now for action items, we need a nomination, for the membership and, fundraising coordinator. So those, please think about that. Get your nominations in, to Ellen. We'll go ahead and make sure we send out the results from our, poll our confidence vote, as Member Kiyasi mentioned last month. We'll send those results out, and we'll begin our new meeting date, the third Wednesday of every month. That starts in January. And, of course, big things coming this December 13th for our town hall. So we've got some work to do in the interim. I mentioned to Member Diamond, we probably need to really connect, maybe once a week here, you know, going forward. So we're all dialed in on the same page. We really got to scrub what Shayna gave to us and make sure that we're good with that. And then, of course, Member McLean is working on what she's got in her kitty. So did I miss anything? Anything else that we need to respond to? Magic words.
Motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
All right. Any opposition? All right. Hearing none, I thank you all for your patience.
And, I said yes. I do have an opposition.
Okay. Go ahead.
There's an issue, a very important issue.
Go ahead.
That we have not, talked about at all. And since I have the opportunity, I just want to bring that to the floor that, it's been over a year, actually, December the 15th, 2023, that we, addressed the issue of the grievance, which we voted on. And we're headed to December, which would be 2 years.
Point of order.
Use your point of order.
Motion to adjourn, takes precedence and must be acted on before other business can be addressed.
I have to take that in this. That's, well received. Member Byfield, can you lobby your complaint to the secretary? We did address that though. So just so you know.
Did we address that tonight?
Yeah, we did. We did. Yeah.
We did?
We did. It was the process
that wasn't on the agenda tonight.
Yeah. It was held up by the executive director at this point. So.
So it's still being held up by the executive director.
Correct.
Why are we even function on other board?
I know.
Something that's important.
Let's be kind to our members. Point of order. We're at adjournment for this meeting. Let's go ahead and work our, you know, channels offline here and, see where we're at. Maybe we can get a response from the executive director. Okay. I'll do that. Make sure to fold you in on the conversation.
Wow. Okay. Right.
So adjourned. Thank you all.
Good night, all.
Good evening.
Take care.
Good meeting, everybody. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, everybody.
No problem. Thanks,
Have Alex. A great rest of the week.
Good night, y'all.
Stay well, everybody.
Happy
safe out there.
Be very careful.